Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that brings together three well-known friends to answer three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And today we're joined by not one, not two, but three of this country's finest actresses who also, perchance, happen to be best friends. First up, she's new to the White Wine Question Time Club, a current Medici sister, the creator of one of, I'm not even doing this to blow smoke up your WhatsApp. One of the best female comedy leads ever. She gave us W1A's Anna Rampton, the most uptight, purse-lipped mofo on the BBC block. I loved her. She's currently, she's also been the star of Doctor Who, Mistresses, Monroe and Cutting It, and is now also, on top of all of that, a multi-million pound fundraiser. Sarah Parrish, you rock my world.
I've got a sexy drawer at home. I mean, it's never open.
And joining Sarah, two of her best friends, and they are returning favourites of this fine podcast. She is back. She is also hosting her own podcast. It's bloody brilliant. Aww. I can say that because I've been on it. It's called Box Set Go. You will, of course, recognise her dulcet tones from Holby City, Brookside, Clocking Off, Cutting It, but you're also going to become enthralled with this podcast. It's Nicola Stevenson.
Oh, hello.
Being a sort of northern working class actress, we don't ever get sent up to play a lawyer or to play, you know, to play the person in charge, to play the person who solves the crime. And there's a sort of, there's a class divide where you get pigeonholed.
She is currently Idris Elba's sizzling co-star in Turn Up Charlie on Netflix. I'm going to suggest that you're a fan of his work.
I am a very big fan of his very fine, fine work.
It is, of course, Angela Griffin. Welcome back, Ange.
We bought the knickers, do you remember? We bought the lace knickers with the pearls.
And we had to parade in front of Ben Dunne, so you had to choose which one looked best.
I can't remember who the winner was. I clearly blocked it out.
What did you wear with
clearly
your top?
Clearly wasn't
nothing.
Me. I think we had tops on. You must have had to. I want to take my top. I want to take my top off.
Yeah.
It's all right to wear a pair of pearl thong knickers, but no, I'm not taking my top off.
Loved being on your podcast,
oh,
Nick.
Oh, thank you for coming on and doing it. We had a laugh, didn't we?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's really good. What you do is you ask people to create their fantasy box set featuring films and TV shows that really mean something to them across the years.
That's it. Me and my husband always talk about it. I'll go, look at what this person's chosen. And he'll go, oh,
what do you think that means? And then we sort of sit and talk about it, and I go, yeah, that's it. And then I talk to the person who comes on and go, do you realise that all your choices are to do with, like, yours were all to do with justice, weren't they? They were all to do with, like, people being held accountable for their actions.
The night before we go to do the podcast, I said to her, there's these da, 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 and she goes off and she watches some of them, really does her homework. And one film that I mentioned was really obscure, but it was called Who Will Love My Children. And when I was like, yeah, do you know it? When I was a teenager and I was like really full of puberty hormones, and like, you know when you just want to cry all the time, that was like my emotional porn, right? I put this show on and it was about this woman who was dying. She had 10 kids and she had to find homes for all of them before she popped her clogs.
Oh my God.
And she and her and Paul watched it the night before.
Were you in tears?
Oh my God. It's literally, but it's from like two scenes in. Yeah. You start crying two scenes into this 2 hour film. And you don't stop till the end. Yeah. She literally, she has to find families for all of her 10 children.
About the same time.
You can still, you can find it on YouTube. Yeah, it's a really old grainy
What's it called again?
Who Will Love My Children.
Already going.
Devastating.
I'm going.
Honestly.
And I can't believe that you loved that too.
Oh, I really, really did. But it's funny how you did have those films that made you cry. That The Colour Purple was one of my choices.
Yeah, and Beaches.
And Beaches. And it's like, I know full well when I get to the end of this, I am going to cry
And
my
I look
eyes
forward
out.
To it.
Yeah.
Mm. You want the catharsis of crying. Yeah. You see, I'm the opposite. If I know something, I won't watch A Star Is Born. You know, because I know it's coming.
I watched it again the other day.
I know I'm going to cry. It will ruin my day.
But the thing is, with A Star Is Born, you don't cry. Right. I didn't cry right till the end. I thought, I don't know, it's finishing now. She's singing the last song. I know she's out. And then...
So she sings the song.
At the end, I won't spoil it, but something, they do something to you at the end that is so sad that I was fine right up until that point. Yeah. I'm not going to say what it is. Anyone who's listening will have heard.
And then
know
you
what I'm
oh my
And
God,
then I couldn't get up. I couldn't get out of my seat.
This is
I literally
the thing.
Was sat
it's
in the
too
cinema.
Much for me.
Does that make you not want to go and see it then?
I went to see Forrest Gump once in the West End. This is terrible. And I had to be taken out of the cinema.
Yes, sad.
Oh. It was so upsetting for me that it's a horrible feeling.
That's
for me.
A box
there
of
have
chocolates.
Been a few times when I've not been able to move.
Yeah,
I've been in there, and it's like I can't actually get out of my seat. And the lights have come up and everything. And I'm still sat there sobbing.
It's but I do still. There's a you little like bit it. Of me that. Quite like that
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah.
I love it. So my first question is a bit of a mashup. It brings together your podcast and one of your Sarah's finest performances as, she was just genius, Anna in W1A.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I want the three of you to imagine that you are in charge of a brand new TV network. Mm. Yeah?
Okay.
And it's for people just like you.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And you've got to decide what goes in your prime time schedule. I want your six big hitters, which means two each.
Oh, my
What
God.
Are the shows and why are they there?
Oh, my God.
A brand new channel.
It's a brand new channel, and what are we trying to
for people like us?
Yeah.
And has it got to be stuff that's already exists, or have we now got to come up with
You can commission
formats?
Your own stuff, or you can put
God.
In pre-existing shows that mean something to you.
Well, I want to put Sex and the City straight.
Oh,
in.
God, oh, damn yes. you!
It's in
straight
it's
away.
Just rerun it's it all yeah. from
just
the start,
from the beginning on
yeah.
repeat.
Yeah. yeah.
Just on repeat, going all the time.
Yeah.
So that's going to be
that was actually that was a television. Movement
it was.
Moment it was a
huge.
Movement
do you remember we used to watch it every Wednesday when we were doing Cutting It every Wednesday night it was on and we'd all go into one of our flats wouldn't we and watch it with
and
Ben
we,
Daniels
we bought the knickers do you remember
we bought
the lace
the
knickers with the pearls
and we had to parade in front of Ben Daniels he had to choose which one looked the best can't believe I'm saying this and we'd had a few wines on and we came out and he had to judge didn't he
I can't remember who the winner was I clearly blocked it out
what did you wear with
clearly
the thong
nothing
me. I think we had tops on
Yeah,
must
we had tops.
I want to take my top off.
Yeah.
It's all right to wear a pair of pearl thong knickers, but no, I'm not taking my top off.
Sorry. Still got mine somewhere.
Yeah.
I've got a sexy drawer at home. I mean, it's never open.
Is it in a sex museum?
It's a bit like my toolbox. It's there.
Yeah. It's there. I know it's there.
That's fine.
Yeah, and that's
all you need
that's
to know.
It. That's all it, yeah.
So Sex and the City, because it meant so much to, I think, all of us, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, it defined,
yeah.
It defined the time.
Yeah.
It defined a time of
being
single.
We were all in our 30s. We were all single. Yeah. It was brilliant.
And it gave you permission, I felt. It gave, like, whatever they were doing on there, we'd either done it 2 weeks before or we did it 2 weeks after. Yeah. And it made you feel like, actually, it's really all right to like sex.
Yeah.
It's really all right to love your friends more than you love boys.
Yeah.
And it's really all right to drink a lot and have fun.
Yeah.
And I needed that permission at the time.
Yeah, there was no other program out there that kind of... It explained women in that way. Mm. You know,
well, what it did is it never judged them. It celebrated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it celebrated.
And I think up until then, anyone that slept around was, you know, a slag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone that got drunk and made a show of themselves was a drunk.
Yeah.
And actually, we're not.
We're not.
Yeah.
And also, it was before Instagram, where you know, it was a bit like, what to be shallow about it. It was a bit like watching a magazine as well. Yeah. The clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, the clothes.
All the clothes and the shoes and so you'd watch it and go, Look what she's wearing.
And I hadn't heard half of the designers when I watched it. I didn't know who Jimmy Choo was or anything.
Yeah, Malona Blahnik,
gave me an education. Yeah.
But didn't it also do that thing that the Spice Girls had done sort of 10 years previously for teenage girls, which gave you somebody to identify with within the pack?
Oh, we all identified with one.
And nobody wanted to be Miranda.
No, I was Samantha.
I quite like Miranda.
I did. I wanted to be Carrie.
Carrie. Amanda was Carrie. Of course you weren't Miranda.
I think I might have been a little bit.
She is organised and she loves a spreadsheet.
Exactly.
But you were Miranda.
The idea was that there was a bit of all of them in everybody.
Yeah, in everybody.
Yeah.
I think you were a cop, wasn't it? So Sex in the City is going to sit, I think, quite rightly
in your Coronation Street spot. I think it's 7:30 every single night.
Yeah. I'm going to strip it. Yeah. We're going to strip it in the schedules. Yeah.
I think talking of having someone to look at and identify with, I think I would put something, I would create a new show about a group of friends, different, but that women of my age identify with
there's very little, and women going through the menopause and going through all of those problems that, I mean, all obviously I'm a little bit older than you guys, but
a smidge.
That's actually a line of Samantha's from Sex and the City.
Maybe
it?
I'm a little bit older. But there's suddenly, you know, when you hit 50, you become invisible. You do. Yeah.
Do you feel that?
And you do. Really? You become completely invisible. Yeah, like a sort of all through my 40s, I still, you know, I had it going on, girls. I could still turn a head or two.
But you still have. Still do that?
No. I mean, I have to literally take my dress off and go. But
people do listen to you more.
They do listen to you more.
They don't look around as much, but they listen more.
They do listen more.
How boring.
I know. But at the same time, you've got it. All go. There's so many stories to tell. You're looking after parents. Yeah. You're looking after children. You're the busiest you've ever been in your career.
You're maybe going through a divorce. Yeah. You know, all of those
things. But you're full of experience and wisdom.
And you're wise and you're funny and you feel confident in your body. You know,
and then you get hit by the truck of the menopause.
Yeah. There's nothing on telly about that.
No,
there's
not. But
I'm
you know
go
what?
And write it right now.
No, I've been around every network saying, as somebody that is evidently on the precipice of it.
Yeah.
I really want a show that talks about it openly, honestly, that has the laughter and the tears that come with an experience like the menopause.
Yeah.
And no joy.
And what, is that not in terms sexy, of factual or in terms
not
of
sexy.
Drama?
Well, factual. I haven't tried, obviously, drama's not my thing.
I wonder whether it might be worth going down the drama.
If you can tie it up into a story. Yeah, because also the demographic of people that watch TV these days
are so much older.
They're older. Mm. You don't think kids watching TV, they'll stream, they'll go onto their computer. They're
exactly,
not
the
going to watch
who are watching,
TV.
Are watching terrestrial TV, your BBCs and your ITVs.
Yeah, they're in 50, 60. Yeah,
50, 60
And give it a comedy side. Yeah. Make it really poignant. And really touching and also really funny.
Yeah.
Because you have to keep it in. The only thing that'll get you through all the
it's
crap.
It's like an older mistress's.
Having,
I'd quite like Sally Wainwright. I'd quite like a Sally Wainwright drama.
Yeah. Shall we ask her?
Let's ask Sally.
Come on. Why don't we ring her?
Look, I've got my laptop.
Get her on me.
I want to see her.
And just got her on speed dial.
I'd
get
like
Sally
that version.
On the
phone. Yeah. 9 o'clock on our new channel.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Because you know what? There are two guarantees in life as a woman. Only two guarantees: death and the menopause.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're not guaranteed to have children or to marry or to be successful. successful in life that you are.
That's what you're going to get. Yeah.
So why is it not? Why is it not everywhere?
I never knew about this perimenopause. That's the whole thing. Like, because my mum did.
It's a bit like birth and the placenta, babe. Do you know what I mean? It's just there and nobody talks about it.
It tells you.
It's like I knew that the menopause was going to come. I remembered my mum going through it. My mum's always been dead open about all that kind of stuff. So I knew that was coming, and I know that it's a period stop and this and hot flushes and da-da. But this perimenopause thing, it's a whole brand new spanking thing.
It goes on for years.
That can start in your late 40s.
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
In your
mid-40s.
Yeah.
And like
insomnia.
Yeah,
emotions. Vaginal colitis. Yeah. You've got to look after your over the age of 45.
Yeah.
Moisturise it.
My mum.
No, I won't tell that story.
No, don't tell that story.
Sorry,
she won't appreciate it. And she will listen.
Sorry, Lynn.
I'm really impressed that there's a show with something as important as the menopause at the heart of it in your decisions.
I think you should pitch
it as a drama.
Yeah. I tell you what I'd like to bring back.
What?
I'd like to bring back Top of the Pops.
Oh, yes!
We haven't got a music programme
anymore. No, you're so
right! And I don't
know
what to listen to, quite frankly.
I don't know what to listen to, and when it comes on the radio, I don't know what it is, and I haven't seen the band.
And I would love to watch that with my...
What do they look like?
What do they look like?
I would love to watch that with my kids as
well. Yeah. Do you remember? Everyone would sit down, wouldn't they?
Yeah. First job in telly, I was on a current affairs show that nobody watched.
Yeah.
And I had to do a story about DJs or something. So I interviewed the boss of Top of the Pops, and he must have just remembered me, right? Because weeks later, I get a phone call and I'm at home doing a bit of decorating. Yeah. And he goes, oh, hi, Kate, it's Chris Carey from Top of the Pops.
I know Chris Carey.
Yeah, Chris Carey. And I went, hi. And he went, Jane Middlemas has called in sick. How, if you can be at Elstree in the next 2 hours,
no,
you can present Top of the Pops.
No way.
My God. But can you imagine the sweat I got?
I would have literally out my nose.
I did. I remember just like running out of the house with some, I looked like I was in Steps with what I wore. And it was shit. And I was running down the road. No thought process around like, how are you going to get there? I just thought, I'll run and find a cab.
Yeah.
In where I live in Dulwich. There's no black cabs in Dulwich. So I just ran. I ran to a train station. It was like one of those like horrific nightmares where you think, I've got to get there.
My
and
God.
I got there.
Oh, got my there. God.
And
that's incredible. What a story.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Brilliant.
And you turned up and they just put you on, and that was
they
that.
They put me on. With like half an hour to go.
I remember they gave me a zigzag parted and backcombed my pineapple updo, and off I went.
I'm loving
that
it.
That is amazing.
They've just pulled up in the studio a picture of me on my first.
They've pineappled you.
Is that your first ever one?
Can I screenshot that and I'll post it?
That is
my pineapple.
Brilliant.
That's great.
And I must have made them put every bit of bronzer on my face.
Yeah. Anything brown.
Just make me brown.
Just brown. Didn't we go to Top of the Pops together once with Sean Reeves?
Do you remember that? I know Sean Reeves.
Yeah,
the actress.
And we met and we all went to Top of the Pops together.
We probably did.
Loads of people used to just randomly turn up.
Yeah.
And then we'd have bands on that would want to go onto the EastEnders set like you too.
Yeah. Really?
Can you imagine? Ian Beale's just clearing up in Cascaf and Bono walks in.
Hello.
Brilliant. So we definitely bring back Top of the Pops.
For me, I'm going to do a film. I want a film. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a new film that doesn't exist yet, but it's basically going to have a load of kick-ass women in it being superheroes of some sort. I kind of want a Marvel film, what Black Panther did for diversity. I want this film to do for womankind.
Do they all have to be really glamorous, or can they just be normal
women? No, they can be like the Incredible Hulk. They just have to have some kind of superpower. It's not about tiny little outfits. It's just about lots and lots of women with lots and lots of superpowers.
I want some action.
Because as much as I like the menopause and as much as I like Sex and the City, I really love action as well, and I like that really lovely vacuous action, which
is like fight scenes. Okay.
No, I want fighting. I want real massive huge fighting, being thrown through walls, off cliffs and all that. I love it.
Yeah.
I love action.
Yeah.
So I want that on the channel.
A proper superpower.
What would your power be?
Oh God, what could I be? Like, I don't know. I'm thinking about Ladybug and Cat Noir now. That's because I've got children
who watch Ladybug and Cat Noir?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, she's like a ladybird. She like turns into a ladybird.
Like a super ladybird.
Yeah, like a super ladybird.
Okay. That's a crap power.
That is quite crap.
She's quite cool, though.
Ladybirds are a nightmare. I mean, we just know away. Away. Do you get like little massive clusters of ladybirds in your house?
Yes.
In one bedroom.
And let me tell you, you can't get a bug company out. They won't touch them. You have to phone the council.
I know, it's disgusting. And, you know, a lot of them have got STDs.
Oh, what? I didn't know that. I had about a billion once.
Don't say that.
I mean,
that.
You're not, unless you sleep with one of them, you're not going to get one.
I bit one once.
But, you what?
So I was sat watching TV, eating a bag of crisps,
right.
And I felt one drop onto my chest. And so I was still looking at the screen, and I picked up the said crisp, and I put it into my mouth in between my front two teeth and bit down on it like you do, to which my entire mouth went numb because it wasn't a crisp, it was a ladybird.
And they horrible and, things come out of their bum.
Well, clearly STDs, apparently. Yeah, what have I got? Just,
the STDs only come from there's not the little red ones that we get with tiny black spots, it's the black ones with red spots.
And what about the yellow ones?
I don't know. They've just got STDs.
What?
I heard it on Radio 4.
What is it?
So it's obviously
chlamydia.
Is it gonorrhea? Syphilis. Is it just the warts? Just the warts.
Listen, I feel like we've just come up with the name of all your superheroes right
now. Genital warts.
Chlamydia.
Chlamydia.
I actually think that a series of superheroes based around various threads of sexual transmission.
I love it.
That's good.
Yeah. Gonorrhea. Gonorrhea, gonna there, gonna everywhere.
She could have a catchphrase. That's her catchphrase.
She's very fast.
Really fast. Really fast.
Okay, now that we're in the flow, who wants top up?
Yes,
I
please.
Do.
Yeah. Please.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Does anyone another glass of wine? Does Dolly Parton sleep on her back?
She has got massive boobs, hasn't
she? Huge. It's amazing, actually, that she can stand up.
I know. She's so out of proportion.
I've met her to do an interview with her for the radio.
Is she lovely?
Oh, she's flipping fantastic.
Yeah, I bet she is.
She's in no way a disappointment. And everything she says is just a soundbite that is destined to be, you know, a quote on Instagram forever. Mm. And I think she's awesome and kick-ass.
Yeah.
Who am I topping?
She's like a guru. I've just topped up, I'm all right.
I've topped up.
You're all topped,
there's
yeah.
barely any wine
I'll
in
have
there,
a little
actually.
Bit.
There is wine
Thank
in there.
You. Don't be a lightweight. Don't
oh,
mix with
come
water.
Come on.
I might just throw you out of the white wine question time club.
I'm going to survive this thing.
Don't mean to be funny, babe, but it's like Fight Club. There are rules. Okay. Yeah. Question number two. Between the three of you, you have accumulated a huge body of work. What has been the most ridiculous thing you've had to do in the line of professional duty? There's got to be some.
I've got one.
I've got one.
Go on.
Go first. Nick.
Well, I was filming, and it was called Legless. It was about binge drinking.
Right.
And we did a lot of filming in around the pubs and clubs of Manchester.
Oh, yeah, I know this story.
And Wigan.
Oh, my God.
And Wigan on a Friday and Saturday night. And we made it really, they wanted it to be really, really truthful and realistic. So they did a lot of guerrilla filming, which is where you go out and it's not in a studio and it's all real.
So it's more like actuality rather than.
Yeah. So we were out one night in a nightclub in Manchester. Out with real people. It was when I think the university students had like just got their exam results or something. There was loads of students out, and it was really packed in this nightclub. And it was a Friday night, and the camera was sort of across the nightclub, filming through the people. So not everybody knew that the cameras were there. And I was, as my character, with the other actress, doing a scene where we're in the nightclub, right from over the side. So it was literally like a person next to me going, action. And then we were all sort of mic'd up and we'd have to sort of do our scene with real people around us. And a drunken person stumbled into me and we didn't have many chances to get it right as well. So we really had to get it right because we had a lot to do and it was difficult shooting conditions. So this person bumped into me and vomited down my arm.
And I had to
carry on.
Oh,
and I could just feel like a really hot, wet down my arm, and then I smelt it.
Oh, God. Oh, God, that's awful.
And I just had to sort of say my next line to this girl and go, really? Is that what happened? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. What are you going to do about da 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 like this? Until they went cut, and I went, even the makeup artist came over to me with a packet of wet wipes and went, I can't deal with it.
That's impressive. Oh my God, that would have turned me. Yeah, horrific. Do you want to go?
No, because I can't think of anything.
I've got one.
Go on, you go, because I really can't think of anything.
When I first started acting, I did a lot of theatre, and then the first bits of telly I got were adverts. And one of the first adverts I ever got was for Danish bacon. And they didn't really tell. I sort of went for the advert, and all they wanted me to do was get on an exercise bike. And they went, you know, you just got to pretend you can smell bacon and you really like to take. It smells really nice. So I did all that, and they went, yeah, no, brilliant. I got the job. And it was filming in South Africa. So I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. You know, they're going to pay
me. I'm an international actress.
An international actress. Flew me over to South Africa, business class. I was really excited. This was like one of the first proper paid jobs I've ever had. And I was sitting in makeup thinking, and I sort of went, well, you know, just do anything, maybe something nice with my hair and a bit of makeup. And she went, oh, what, have they not told you about the prosthetic? I went, no. What? She went, oh, right. Oh, God. I better show you the storyboard. She got me the storyboard. And what happens is I'm on the exercise bike at home. And I smell the bacon. Yeah. I've got a prosthetic nose on, and the nose starts twitching.
Yes, like because that. We remember the
Do you
advert.
Remember it?
Yes.
And it gets longer and longer and longer until the exercise bike takes off, and I'm going through the streets of South Africa with my nose getting bigger and bigger, and I end up in the middle of a bacon sandwich.
I can't believe that was you.
That
I remember
was me.
That.
Yeah,
Caitlin's Googling it now.
It was so humiliating.
That's brilliant.
So, yeah, my glamorous kind of exercise thing, I had this massive prosthetic nose.
I love it.
Beat that, Anne.
Honestly, I can't think. Like, you two both work with me. Have anything?
Anything? It must have been something.
I broke a bed once.
You two apologetic about
that. Was that with Idris?
No, you were covered in bruises with Idris.
David Harewood.
Yeah, I broke a bed with David Harewood and covered in bruises from Idris. That's about the only thing.
Oh, my God. You can't just skim over. I was covered in bruises from Idris.
Because I straddled him.
Oh,
no. But the thing is,
Idris.
So in Turn Up Charlie, which is currently on Netflix, there's a scene where we're in Latitude, the festival, and I thought this was in the script, but apparently it's not.
In the script
apparently,
of your
apparently
mind.
Apparently I ad-libbed it. Yeah. Yeah. There was no sex in the script.
I just did it all by myself, and it was... He sat on a deck chair, and I'm sat on a deck chair, and then I decide that I want to get a bit frisky with him.
Yeah.
And so I thought it said, so she straddles him.
Did
it?
Awful.
I kept whacking myself on those, like these bits.
Yeah.
At home,
yeah,
you can't see arms. This, but like the arms. And then I ended up with absolutely massive, very deep bruises.
Yeah.
That I was very, very proud
God,
of.
I would have tattooed those.
And I was a little bit embarrassed afterwards when they kind of, oh my God, it was amazing. It looked really, really great. And no, it's amazing that you just decided to do that. I was like, no, I didn't decide to do it. No, it said that's what, and it was like, no, there is nowhere on any script at any time, there is no version
in
where
your
any of it is said that
your...
you straddle him and then try and put your hands down his pants.
You tried to put your hands down his pants as well, as an ad lib.
Well, it's like, you know, I'm trying to get it on with him whilst watching ballet. So I would be trying to get out his...
That's one hell of an
my God.
I mean, obviously, I didn't get into his trousers because that would be very rude, but I did at one point say to him, look, if this is all getting a bit too much for you, you can say to me to stop. But the character is... No, she's really full on and she's really loves sex and she particularly likes having sex with him. And so I was just in character.
It's a brilliant excuse, Ange.
Oh, I love that story's reversed, though, because you do loads of sex scenes and love scenes where the male actor always says, are you okay with this? If you're not okay, you know, just say.
One of the things they say is, don't hate me if I do and don't hate me if I don't.
Really?
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Well, in case there's movement.
If there's movement, I'm sorry. Yeah. And if there isn't, I'm sorry.
Well, it's inside info.
This all brings me beautifully to our final question, ladies. Does anybody need refreshing?
Go away. What I realise sitting here is I'm a proper fidget. Yous lot are all sat dead still, and I've spent the whole time
swinging around. You like
this playing with because
you need a lot of hair playing.
Like I'm a proper fidget, knickers. I'm going to sit still now.
That's a nice segue from Idris's knickers to your fidgy knickers.
Okay.
Okay, so our last question. We all work in a very precarious business. Do you have a plan B?
Oh, I love that.
Oh, God.
I've got a plan B. I've tried lots of plan Bs, I've got to say. At one point, I was unemployed for quite a long time, so I bought a food van. And I bought a food van, Pigs and Dogs it was called. Me and Jason ran it, and it was pulled pork sandwiches and hot dogs.
It was delicious.
No way.
Yeah,
it
was brilliant
because I can't sit on my bum doing nothing. And so that was a plan B for a while. Pigs and Dogs.
It was called Pigs and Dogs. Yeah,
pigs and
I loved
dogs.
It.
And the food was lovely. And
vegan, yeah. yeah, Korean.
Yeah. And I'm always looking for bits and bobs to do, but I've now settled on, if I'm going to do something else, it's got to be within the industry. So now I've started doing things and developing ideas and developing script ideas and selling ideas to other people, but in drama land rather than in factual. And I've also just applied for a short film competition to go and be a director.
I probably won't win it,
but I've written a full short film, and then I've got an idea for another short film, which actually is about female superheroes.
Female superhero short film.
And so I like the idea because I think I want to be an actress forever and a day. But as we all know, that on the TV at the moment, you know, once you hit 40, the roles just get less and less. But there's still the same amount of actresses out there all vying for these roles. Mm. And as much as I'd love to say I'm going to act for the rest of my life, I do think you've got to have a plan.
Because everybody always wants to put you in a box, you know.
Yeah.
You'll get stuck playing, you know, like for me and Angela, I know Angela feels the same, but being a sort of northern working class actress, I don't ever get sent up to play a lawyer or to play, you know, to play the person in charge, to play the person who solves the crime.
It is really
Ever get sent up to, you know, you're playing northern working class people, and there's a class divide where you get pigeonholed, and sometimes you just go,
actually, this is what I'm gonna sit down and write. And it's what I want to play.
You would be able to play the thing that you're not better. The bigger the mask, I think, the better you are.
Totally.
So if they put you in that part, you know, you're a you know, middle class lawyer. You've seen it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is a mask.
I've watched
that you put on.
Yeah.
And whenever people are given that challenge as actors, they always succeed.
They rise to it. I've got to say though, I always thought I always think that people can drop down a class as opposed to going up a class. There's lots of people who are middle class and you know, have kind of done that whole RADA scene, and it's absolutely fine for them to go down. It's fine for them to play working class.
Yeah. It
doesn't travel the other way. Never.
No.
I don't think it's necessarily like a mean and nasty thing that's going on. I think there are so many actors out there. Nowadays, you don't need to find an actor who can do 10 different things. Mm. If you want to have...
You'll find exactly what you
want. Yeah. They're just there. You don't need to ask them to do
anything.
It's a massive shame
because
as an actor.
Because as an actor, you want to stretch yourself. Yeah. You don't want to play yourself.
And if people in their programmes aren't taking risks and writing these kind of different kind of characters and they're writing the same characters over and over, then it means that people don't get a chance.
Nick, what's your plan B?
Well... it's going down the same road. Is it? I think when I was younger, I'd always go, well, you know, if it all dries up, I'll do something else. And whatever the job, you know, the other job that I wanted to do. But I think now, as I've got older, and I feel more confident in the job that I do, in the industry that I'm in, I think I would stay where I am and do the same thing, either, you know, write or direct or development or like I've started the podcast and. I don't know. It's a funny time in your 40s because you're changing all the time, and you're getting, and having children as well makes you much more. It's made me more motivated.
Yeah,
definitely. Because you're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't expect that.
I have babies, and then all I want to do is stay at home with them.
No.
I was
out like a shot with you.
But I've never been more
aware.
No, I do want to spend
a break.
I think it's
more motivated. I've never been more ambitious.
And energetic.
More ambitious than when I had kids.
But it's because you're busy. It's because you have children. And for the first time, you do not sit down.
Yeah.
You don't sit. You're busy.
Yeah.
You're doing.
And,
you're
drop,
and then...
You can't drop so many gears to go back to that kind
you
of
can't
horizontal position you're in.
They go to school and then you go, right, well... I'm busy now.
I'm watching Trisha or whatever it was.
Exactly.
And Kilroy.
But, Kilroy, yeah.
Having said that, if I wasn't in this industry, I'd like to be a midwife.
I really would.
That's so lovely.
I'd love to have babies. Come on, you
would.
You'd be ace. You would so push when she said to
you.
I would do it.
I just love women. Imagine going to work every day and being surrounded by women at the best time in their lives when they're having a baby, and then you get to cuddle a baby at the end of it.
Oh my god!
Is that not just the best job ever?
A baby.
Your
and maybe
eyes
steal
are
it.
Whoa!
Hey, whoa! Hang on.
We'll have a ladder drink.
So midwife, you, Sarah. What about you?
I'm very much with these two. I've gone into development now. I've got a production company with Hugh Bonneville.
He's a bit fancy,
and we are developing something for ITV at the moment with a production company called Baby Cow,
Steve Coogan's company.
And I'm loving it. I love it. That's why I was late. Yeah. Just being in meetings with the writer, going through series ideas, creating. You know, Hugh and I have created this story and these characters that we love, and it's a character that I would never usually get cast in.
Oh, yes.
But it's
are you going to be in it?
Oh yeah, Hugh and I are in it. But it's something that I've always wanted to play. But, you know, I'm always the hard-faced lawyer, the hard-faced doctor, the gynecologist. I'm always somebody who's quite hard-faced. I don't know why.
Oh, you've got a lovely face.
Yeah, thanks,
you're not hard.
Yeah, good look at the cheekbones.
Oh, yeah, no, that
She can do that razor sharp. And then carry on with the charity.
Mm. Which we have to talk about because... You say the charity, and I love how you and James described yourself as local fundraisers when you first set this up.
The Moray Parish Trust has now raised £5.1 million.
Yeah,
incredible.
I know.
Sarah, that is like
it's incredible.
Really good.
It's really good.
And this is in memory of your daughter Ellie Jane, who passed away at the age of 8 months from a congenital heart defect. And you wanted to remember her in a really positive way and help other children as a result.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, £5.1 million doesn't fall out of the sky. You guys have worked endlessly.
We have, but I mean, we didn't raise the whole 5.1. We got 2 million from the government.
We match funded. But you know what? Yeah. Just to even know how to do that, and you know, you don't just go to them and go at number 10, oh, hi, I've got 2 million. Do you want to match fund it?
We had to go in there. We had to push all our local MPs, you know, get them on board, get them to lobby. I think it was George Osborne at the time. Get them to lobby him. It takes a lot of pushing, but it's been very good for me because I'm not comfortable. I'm not one of those people that's comfortable for asking for money. You know, I'm always a bit like, oh God, you know, it's not very British. I don't like doing it. But it's really made me kind of go, no, actually, give it, you know, give me the money. I want the money. You know, you've got it and I know you've got it and we need it. And and it's quite a release to be able to sort of, it's so un-British, isn't it, to sort of do that.
But you're doing it for the very best of reasons.
Yeah, I know that I'm doing it for the right reasons. I know the NHS need the money. You know, I know how amazing they are.
And what you're fundamentally raising the money for is for a new, it's a paediatric A&E department at the hospital where your daughter was treated.
Well, we've done it now. We've raised it. It's done. It's built. It's open. The next appeal starts in a couple of months. I can't tell you what it is, but again, it's another 5 million. And this time we have to raise the whole lot.
And what you've done is acknowledge that there's a team there that are phenomenal, but they need the equipment to make them as efficient as they can be, as helpful and as productive as they can
We've got amazing clinicians. They come from all over the world. They work in this huge hospital. And some of them are working in a facility that was built in the 1970s.
Mm. And this is the University Hospital of Southampton.
It's huge. It covers 9 counties. And you see these doctors, and they desperately want to help children. And you can see children dying in front of you. And you know that they are going to die unless we get this piece of equipment. But the NHS, they haven't got any money. They can't afford it. And it's mad. You know, it's so frustrating to
watch.
It's heartbreaking. Mm. So it's one of those things that we kind of got into, and now we cannot stop. We can't stop it. And sometimes you go, God, I wish we could stop. It's exhausting, but I couldn't. You know,
I love how it's grown because initially it was a room for parents, wasn't it? It started off as raising money so that parents can stay when their child is ill.
That's all
they can stay at the hospital so they can be near their child.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's grown from that and now there's a full wing and that's incredible.
It's got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the Children's Hospital in Southampton is becoming world renowned, and that's what we want.
Well, because of the funds that you've been able to provide for them, it's almost on a par now with Great Ormond Street in terms of the facilities it offers.
That's incredible.
They couldn't have done that without you.
If this next bit of equipment, I can't talk about if we get that. Then we're up there.
Listen, the people that listen to the show are phenomenal. They are regular. They get in touch. They are proactive. They're doers. There's lots of them, and there's three of us sat at the table here. What can we do? How can we help?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, anyone who's listening, I guess go to the website. Am I allowed to say it?
Yeah.
www.themurrayparishtrust.com. That's not
and
easy.
That's Murray after three. And that's MURRAYPARISH trust.com.
And there's lots and lots of ways on the website that you can help as an individual or as a company or as a corporation. For my celebi friends, I always have things. You know, we have Christmas concerts, we have music festivals, we have all sorts. I will pick on you
at certain times. We will.
Whatever
you need.
Anything.
Whatever you need, whenever you need it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's a given. Don't take your foot off the gas with that.
I won't.
You know what? I know it's amazing that we get to do a job that we love and we're privileged and it never feels like work. Except when it's up at 4 a.m. and you're getting a
car. Oh, yeah. You know?
But actually, what you've done with the Moray Parish Trust, that's really meaningful.
It's very grounding as an actor. Very grounding.
And amazing. And we will make sure that we tag this onto all of the posts that go out around the podcast so that people can donate, get in touch, and support with their own fundraising.
Brilliant.
Ideas.
I love it. Thank you.
You know what? It takes an army.
Yeah, it does.
Let's be the army.
You're right.
Let's be the army. Girls, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the wine.
Yeah, it was ace.
Forgiven, isn't it?
I'm a bit tickly.
For having us, Kate.
These two have trodden this path before. How was your first white wine question time?
I loved it. Nice, it was just it? Really... I just forgot.
Yeah, it's yeah. Well. Chat,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
It's great. Like, what is that? What is that big black thing in front of me?
Oh, hello. Oh, hang on. I nearly said something completely inappropriate. Oh, can't believe it. See, I've clearly not had enough wine because I didn't say it. And only I can say it.
All right. Nick, where can people hear Box Set Go?
You can hear it on lovetalking.com, or if you go to your podcasts and look for Love Talking, no G, it's on there.
Okay, you'll find it on there. And she's got amazing guests.
I've got really, yeah, there's really good people coming up. I've recorded 9 now, and I've only put 3 out so far, so there's really good people coming
up. So Lisa Falk has done it, Angela's done it.
You can hear those already, and Rebecca Front, and I've got John Sim coming up. I've got Mark Bonner, who we were talking about earlier from Catastrophe, on it. I've got Johnny Vegas on it.
Oh, my God.
Who else? Oh, yeah, really, really good.
See, she's done so well.
It's brilliant.
Yeah,
and that's the beauty of podcasts.
So, yeah.
What day do you drop your episode?
We do it on a Wednesday or a Thursday usually. I think Mark's going out this Wednesday. Oh, but this we don't know when this will come out. So yeah, it's Wednesday or a Thursday every 2 weeks.
Yeah, because then you've got you on a Wednesday or a Thursday, us on a Friday.
Oh,
because you want?
Never going to go out.
I don't need to. Well,
no, you do. You go out with the podcast when you're walking the dog. That's what I do.
There you go.
That's what she does.
Where do you podcast?
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much, Lady.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
Don't forget, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we always love hearing from you. You can email us whitewinequestiontime@yahoo.com, and you can find us on Twitter @whitewineqt, or follow me on Instagram. I'm the Kate Thornton. Or you can follow the rest of the girls. Angela is the Angela Griffin. Mm. Sarah is
what on which one?
Insta.
Insta. I am at Sarah Parish 23.
23.
I think I'm official Nick Step.
You are official Nick Step.
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 Nick Step. Like dubstep.
Yeah.
Dubstep on his
As always, White Wine Question Time is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Caitlin Mercer for Yahoo. The music, as always, is provided by the very talented Andy Bell. New music from him is available right now in all of your good music outlets with Ride, and you can listen back with Oasis, again, at all good music outlets. Remember, lots of wine has been consumed for your entertainment purposes during the making of this podcast, but do as we do, drink responsibly.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.